When we talk about having security in being a Christian, as Colin did in his message last time, there are so many good qualities that easily come to mind to describe true Christian character. Sadly, when we look around us in society today, many of those qualities seem to be lacking. For those of us who are taught to say please and thank you, to refrain from foul language, or as my father called it, gutter language, to open doors for seniors, and to allow elders to precede us in queues, etc., it's almost easy to feel embarrassed when we see how callous and impolite some people can be. Recently, I read some very interesting statistics which might hold the answer. It's up to you to decide how much you think the social graces have been affected by modern technology. According to Statista.com, the average person today spends 8 hours and 5 minutes on their devices per day. Unbelievable. That's the equivalent of what used to be our 40-hour work week. Another interesting note is that the average family today spends as much on phones, streaming services, and electronic hardware as was spent on rent in the 1980s. Are people so wrapped up in their gadgets today to the point where their social development has become impaired? If so, it's understandable that courtesy, conversation, bonding with other humans, and the normal person-to-person relationships have changed and maybe even degenerated. An incident that made me really stop and think about another side to courtesy happened while I was on the lookout for some interesting notes for this sermon. A week ago yesterday, I had a very interesting conversation with a lady who lives across Southland Drive from us. She's about my age, but I hadn't seen her for over 2 years. She contracted long COVID and is still having issues with brain fog and panic attacks. But she's actually doing much better overall compared to how thin and sickly she looked the last time I saw her. I told her I'd been really worried about her. She kind of chuckled and said she and many others had been worried about her too. She herself questioned whether she'd ever get better. She had to quit her job when she became ill because she just didn't have the strength in her legs anymore to stand all day being a hairdresser. But that has improved now, and she's back to work for 2 or 3 hours a day, a couple of days a week. One of the topics of our conversation sparked a change in direction for my sermon. I had originally planned to use the same title, but the information would have been quite different. We visited for perhaps 45 minutes or so, and one of the things she asked me was, "Do you find there's no common courtesy anymore?" The lack of common courtesy is something that comes up often in casual conversations, it seems. It got me thinking, what is common courtesy? And should it be something that people just expect? Where did the idea come from? Was it ever all that common globally? According to Webster's Dictionary, the word common is defined as belonging to or serving the community, public, widely or generally known or observed. And courteous means marked by respect for others or civil. Courtesy then can be described as courteous behavior or politeness treating each other civilly. And this started me thinking about the kind of things we need to be demonstrating in our daily lives once we commit to being Christian, which is what Colin talked about in his last message. Should common courtesy play a major role in our daily lives? Is it still relevant in this 21st century? Or has this become the time when everybody looks out for his or her own best interests? We realize that we must put away all the things that would be hurtful to our fellow human beings and begin practicing the golden rule. Often, but hopefully not so much in our little group, sermons tend to focus on the negative. All the thou shalt nots, which have kept Christians down through the ages fearful of ending up in hellfire. More often than not, the sins we think are deal breakers are merely the slip-ups that Colin mentioned last time. They're not the life-threatening sins that we would flagrantly commit if we were so inclined, even while knowing the consequences. The two deal breakers that come to mind are denial of God and blasphemy. We do not regularly badmouth ourselves, spread vicious lies about ourselves, deliberately physically harm our own bodies. No, as human beings, we tend to treat ourselves with special care, taking good care of our whole selves, including our health and welfare. This ties directly in with the second of the great commandments. Love our neighbors, that's all our fellow human beings, as much as we love ourselves. If we would not show discourtesy to ourselves, neither should we do so to anyone else. I'm sure you've all noticed how your actions influence those around you. When you're pleasant and courteous, others tend to smile more and become easier to deal with. When we display the attributes discussed in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We tend to think of these feelings that these attributes engender within ourselves. But the fact is, all these good things are included in one word: courtesy. How we treat other people, and not only those members of the household of God, but all our fellow human beings. And all human beings need validation. Even if we have different opinions, a courteous thing to do is to acknowledge other people's points of view. Quite often when we hear a biblical principle, we say, oh yeah, we've already learned that. But think back to the time when we were first starting our in-depth study of the Bible. Do you remember how exciting it was to stop, to ponder, to reread a passage, to really think about it? What is this saying? What's being said here? That's called digging into the peripherals, or developing the nuances of meaning around the edges of a subject, beyond what is written on paper. As we have seen when we've had open discussion during services, we all see things slightly differently, and we put emphasis on the areas that we are most familiar with, most comfortable with, or even maybe in the midst of a struggle with at that present moment. There are over 100 verses in the Bible about doing the right thing. And though we may see slightly different things on our lists as the right things to do, our lists will be fairly similar. And that's what being spirit-led all comes back to. Matthew 7, verse 12 in the Message Bible reads, "Here is a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get." As we can expect, there are also many verses in the Bible which alert us to the possible consequences of looking out only for our own interest. In Judges 17, verse 6, "In those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit." Carrying on that thought in Proverbs 14, verse 12, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." And in verse 13, "Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief." And this is just to illustrate how simply thinking about our actions and doing to others as we would have them do to us could mean all the difference to somebody who's having a bad day or is a bit down. Your smile and courteous behavior could turn their day around. We are well aware that our actions have consequences. We've heard many stories of a simple misdeed or a wrong word which has ripped families apart and separated best friends forever. Something comes to mind. But some of the things I've heard people have told me, it's just heart-wrenching. And sometimes decades later, there's still so much bitterness. But one thing that always draws me out of the doldrums is to think about all the majesty and the grandeur of all of creation being contingent on all of our combined thoughts and actions. Yes, we're only a tiny speck, maybe even invisible in the threads of the universe. But we are intricately interwoven into that special fabric called the creation. We are so much joined as to be as well known to God as any of the archangels, the cherubim and seraphim, the galaxies, the planets, the stars, and we're told that he knows each one of them by name. Just to think that he knows one in each one of us, insignificant humans that we are, equally well, is truly mind-boggling. It has been said that all things created, all humans, all animals, all growing living plants, all water, all air, all our senses, all energy forces, all lives past and present are interconnected and interdependent. We all come from a long line of generations. That interconnectedness or oneness of the universe is automatic and inevitable. We have no control over the immutable laws set in place by God. Things happen as they do because those laws are embedded from the very foundation of being. An interesting note along those lines, I recently saw a paper published by 8 German scientists at Astronomy and Astrophysics. They have seen evidence that there are no islands in the cosmos. Every galaxy cluster is joined to every other cluster by long X-ray filaments. Just something to think about in case you've ever looked up at the night sky and wondered how such a vast expanse of vacuum can be so beautiful. Thinking back, I actually asked that question close to 60 years ago now. And I learned in no uncertain terms, no, it definitely is not a vast expanse of vacuum. Everything we do, everything we say, even every thought we have, sends energy waves throughout the universe. I think everyone in this room has acknowledged that fact just by agreeing that God is omnipresent and aware of every breath we breathe and every thought we entertain and every word we utter. We remember the words of King David in Psalm 139, verses 1 to 4. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. As the lady I was talking to said at the end of our visit, there does seem to be a greater sense of entitlement in just about everything we see happening around us. It seems that people's predetermined rights have turned everyday activities into a comedic circus. Reminds one of the fall of the Roman Empire, games and circuses. But as we have already determined, this self-importance and concern only for what we want is nothing new. It has been around since the opening chapters of the Bible. As Christians, we know that we are no longer in the business of only looking out for our own interests. Once we give our lives over to being led by the Holy Spirit, we are now in the business of loving our fellow human beings and treating them in the same manner as we would want them to treat us. Because they, just as we are, also are created in the image of God. Probably the most interesting take on this teaching that I've encountered was someone who said, this goes way beyond loving your neighbor or treating them as you would like to be treated. This means we have to respect and treat others as if we're responsible for them. And that, to me, is a very sobering thought. Do we have a responsibility for every other human being on the planet? That's something to think about. Loving doesn't mean we leave them to do whatever they want and let the chips fall where they may. It's similar to teaching a small child. You don't put your hand on a hot stove. You don't run with scissors in your hands. And you carry a knife by the handle, not by the blade. Without being busybodies, we each have the knowledge and expertise to give positive, effective help when required, just by virtue of having experienced the Spirit-led life. At the same time, we should acknowledge that there may be someone else who is equipped to help us if we ask. Because even though we're traveling this road together, we are each having unique and enriching experiences through a whole diverse range of situations. All of us have seen, done, and lived through a whole life different from the one lived by the person sitting next to you. And when we share our stories, we fulfill the prophecy that iron sharpens iron. That scripture is Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I can always remember the first time that really hit a chord with me. Dave Cobain and I were talking one day after services. And as we were leaving, he said, "Iron sharpens iron." And I felt like we had really had true fellowship. Now to begin winding down. As Andrew can attest, one of my pet peeves can be Calgary drivers. And in particular, the group who use 90th Avenue Southwest as much as we do. With road rage as prevalent as it is, there is a possibility that doing things which seem right to a man could very well lead to someone being very seriously injured. For those of you who are not familiar with the 90th Avenue and 24th Street intersection, there are dual left-hand turning lanes. Southbound onto 24th Street from 90th Avenue, and 24th Street is only a two-lane street. So both lanes turn onto 24th Street. In about 100 meters south of that intersection at 90th, Palliser Drive bisects 24th Street east and west. What really bothers me is how many drivers turn into that left curb lane, and when they really want to be in the right-hand turning lane, immediately they begin jockeying to change lanes so they can make a right turn onto Palliser Drive. Now, maybe it's just the way I think, but why can't they get in the right lane to begin with, instead of putting everyone else at risk for a pileup? There have been so many close calls in that area. It's gotten even busier now that 90th is a major connector to the ring road. I cringe every time I see someone turn into the left lane and then immediately change over to the right-hand lane. Everyone is just a breath away from being involved in an accident. So in conclusion, the importance of being courteous is summed up in the list of the fruits of the Spirit. How we treat others is a reflection of how we want others to treat us. And yes, it does work both ways. As Colin had talked about some weeks ago, we are continually paying it forward, whether it's by acts of kindness, pleasant words of encouragement, or even just a smile. In a practical sense, being courteous in certain circumstances really actually could mean the difference between life and death. So, think, act, and speak as you wish others would do towards you. Make someone's day